Perhaps many of you, I think, know. I always consider myself as one of the human being out of 7 billion human being. We are same. Mentally, emotionally, physically, we are same. And then most important, everyone want happy life. And the potential to develop happy person, that also, all 7 billion human beings have same potential. So therefore, wherever I go, I always is telling people, now for example here, you want happy life. Me also want happy life. And meantime, some difficult emotion. You also have that emotion. I also have that emotion. So we are same emotionally. And mentally, 5 senses of organs, and then main mental, the sort of mental thing, mental faculty. Also, you see, we are same. We all have. So therefore, when I visit outside India, some different country, or I think mainly, you see, outside Dharamsala, is quite often, you see, telling these things. The Dharamsala accepts some public teaching. Otherwise, not much sort of opportunity. Then, a lot of tourists, some sort of hairstyle, quite funny. And a lot of sort of tourists, you see, have something here, like that. We're all same human being. Some showing interest about religion, some are not. That doesn't matter. But we all want happy life. So, in any way, you see, there are quite a number of sort of tourists, you see, coming here. So then I felt. And outside Dharamsala, whenever occasion, I have the opportunity to talk. And I always have the interest, public talk. So here, particularly those tourists, so far, you see, not arranged that way. So then, when I'm passing through airport and these things, number of foreigners is showing interest, showing genuine love. So therefore, I felt it is a little bit my guilty. A lot of tourists come here, but you see, no sort of personal meeting. I feel a little uncomfortable. So therefore, today, I think three, four days ago, you see, I mentioned, maybe meeting, you see, those tourists who just used to come here, remain a few days, and then go different sort of country or different area. So, you see, they arrange this. So I'm very happy. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the problem which we are facing, as a matter of fact, a lot of problems in Africa, and now latest Ukrainian problem, and Northern Africa, the Syria, and also Israel and Palestine problems, all these, see, actually, our own creation. The basis of this problem, we very much emphasize on secondary level of differences. We just neglect or forget oneness of humanity. So on the level of secondary level, yes, my nation, their nation, my religion, their religion, then a lot of differences. So that creates strong concept of we and they. That's the basis of violence, basis of conflict. And then people who very much emphasize interest for oneself or one's own people, one's own nation, regardless what others feel. And ultimately, they themselves also not necessarily happy. Too much emphasis on your own area, your own people, and creates distance from other. Eventually, you feel lonely. Society level also. If you think oneself, one's own family, and don't care other, then all your neighbors, eventually, you see, you get suspicion, distrust. That brings fear. That brings loneliness, helplessness. Once we open, we are the same human being. They want happy life. I want happy life. On that basis, you see, develop genuine sort of sense of oneness of humanity. Then all these problems on the basis of secondary level of differences then reduce. We are now beginning of 21st century. Look, 20th century, a lot of bloodshed. Some historians say the 20th century, over 200 million of people killed and also used nuclear weapon on human life, on human being. So that immense sort of suffering, immense sort of violence really brought better world. No. The beginning of this 21st century, a lot of killing. Particularly, you see, the innocent people. And during this civil war, yes, first casualty is innocent people, women, children. So this is the sort of the impact of 20th century's negligence about our inner value. And too much emphasis, we and they. So if this sort of mental attitude remains, I think this 21st century also will not be a happy one. That nobody wants. Everyone wants, you see, happy life, happy world. Isn't it? So therefore, now we must think, what is the real causes of this man-made problem? Then, not technology. Technology, very helpful if you use for meaningful way. A technology used for destructive way, then very dangerous, including nuclear weapon, right? Like that. So therefore, now time come. I think in the 20th century, in the past, I think we very much sort of emphasis about material development. Cars, televisions, all sorts of things. Even I think each month is a new product and everybody excited and a lot of advertising, isn't it? And when you see some advertising, and I think most of you, I think about your pocket, sufficient money or not to buy that. Isn't it? So therefore, that's almost, I think, the way of life like that. Too much emphasis about material value. And then, I think, unfortunately, existing education system itself is very much oriented about material value. Not much talk about inner value. Of course, only those religious sort of tradition talks about love, compassion, forgiveness, tolerance, these things. Then secular education field, not much talk about that. I think that's the unfortunate thing. Now, we must promote inner value through education. That means not through prayer. Not pray to God. If God really have the ability to bring peaceful world, then I think we, several centuries, we always pray to God, but fail. We must say, frankly, we must say realistically. One time in Hiroshima, Nobel Laureate Peace Summit met there. The other speakers spoke, the peace prevailed through blessing of God, or including Buddha. Then my turn, I express, if God brings world peace, then world, I think, through centuries must be peaceful. It did not happen. And when two nations fighting, killing each other, both sides pray to God. I think God confused. Where should support? God should bless. Difficult. So then, of course, this I may not mention, but actually I mentioned there, peace will not come through our prayer. Peace must come through our action. So logically, who creates violence? Who creates war? Not God, but we human beings. So we have the responsibility to build peaceful society, peaceful world. So therefore, now peace, actually. So therefore, religion, not adequate, to bring kasoda, firm conviction about moral ethics. One clear indication, frankly speaking, among the religious believer, there are a lot of disgraced religious people, corrupted religious people, including religious leaders, very much corrupted. So if religious faith really bring inner strength or conviction about moral ethics, then all those religious believers must be very honest, very truthful, very compassionate, but that is not the case. So now we must think through education, the systematic way to educate our inner value. That is mainly compassion. Now here, one clear sort of thing is, we materialistic way only think about material values. And then material value provide us some satisfaction, temporary satisfaction, on sensorial experiences, not mental level. Angers, hatred, suspicion, stress, these are not sensorial level, but mental level. So the method to tackle this problem on mental level problem must develop within mind, not relying on sensorial sort of experiences. If you too much anger, fear, nice music, yes, some temporary relief, but not much helpful. And seeing spots, something. Just short moment, yes, your mind deviated. So the mental sort of stress, a little bit reduced. So these are sensorial level of experiences, some satisfaction will not affect the problem in mental level. So the mental level, faith also, some extent, very helpful. But mainly, love, compassion. Not so the sensorial level of love, not that way. Use intellectuals, intelligence, and through training, through awareness, through investigation, then gradually develop firm conviction, the practice of compassion is really ultimate source of inner strength. Now scientists also now saying, some medical scientists now say, constant fear, constant anger, hatred is actually eating our immune system. That's what scientists say. And through training of mind, even our brain can change.
We're talking about mental or brain plasticity.
Through training of mind, it actually changes our brain. So therefore, you see, mental force, not as it is relying on sensorial, but mental level, is immensely powerful. Thus we human being, only human being can do that. Animal, because of their brain is much slow, much primitive, so difficult. Our brain is very sophisticated. We have the ability to use these things, irrespective of whether believe religion or not, whether believe God or not, whether believe Buddha or not, doesn't matter. We are concerned, firstly, individual. We are social animal. Individual happiness very much depends on the society. If the whole society creates, you create whole society, it's just us sort of community. How can you be a happy person? So for your own interest, you must respect your neighbors. You must take, you must have a sense of concern of their well-being. Then trust will come. Then friendship come. So social animal really need genuine cooperation. Cooperation based on trust. Cooperation by force is artificial. So therefore, as a social animal, the inner sort of warmth, respect others' right, and sense of concern of others' well-being. Once we have genuine sense of concern of others' well-being, then no room of violence. You're actually taking care about their life, about their right. And how can bully? How can cheat? How can deceive? So therefore, the mental sort of, what's it, the compassionate attitude is the key factor to bring happy life, the happy family. So that's way to create happy community. And through that way, national level. Now look, India, a wonderful nation. Really? Those Indian, raise hand. Indian. I always see, describe myself as a messenger of ancient Indian thought. That means ahimsa. Today, the modern India, I think a 1,000-year-old concept of ahimsa still there. Because of that, religious tolerance is really example of the whole world. Sometimes I telling, you say, my friend, oh, Pakistan, Muslim country, very good. But those Shia community in Pakistan may be safer in India. Isn't it? So India, really, I always admire the follower of Zoroastrian, the Parsi, because of Parsi in Bombay. Population very small. And nowadays, is their population in Bombay less than 1,00,000, 100,000, less. But no fear. Completely safe. Among the millions of Hindus and Muslims or Christians, no problem. A few years ago, I met some Romanian who carries some research about India's religious harmony. I met Jodhpur. He told me he visited some Muslim village near Jodhpur. Muslim means, village means in Indian standard, well, at least a few thousand population. So he told me in the Muslim village, only three Hindu family, no fear. Completely safe. That's India. Occasionally some problem here and there. That is mainly political reasons or some economic reasons. Otherwise, basically, very harmonious in this country. So, wherever I go, I always talk non-violence and religious harmony. India is living example of religious harmony. And then another important thing is, this country, the concept of secular, which, according to Indian understanding, secular means respect all religions, not disrespect. Whereas some Europeans, some my friend, some Muslims, some Catholics, you see, my friend, you see, they little bit sort of hesitant, right? When I speak secularism. Because in French Revolution and Bolshevik Revolution and also the Chinese Revolution, in these cases, you see, the secular means something negative towards religion. That was understandable. Here, I think we must make differences. It, religious institution and religion, big differences. French Revolution, revolutionists of the people, how, and Russian Bolshevik revolutionaries, and Chinese, religion means practice of love. Who can against love? Nobody, even animal. You see, rest or appreciate our love, our kindness. So no human being can against human love, compassion, forgiveness. So those revolutionary sort of leaders, they against religious institution. That's, I think, if I'm one of them, I join them, because religious institution much corrupted. Actually, some Marxists say the religious constitution, religious institution actually exploiter of people. It's quite true. Even among Tibetan lamas, sometimes you see exploit. They are faithful because of the followers. Exploiting. So therefore, it is quite sort of reasonable against those existing religious institutions. And French Revolution case also, I think same. Russian Revolution also, you see, czars and religious institutions very close, helping each other. So in order to change the elite people who control people, who exploit people, have full support from the religious institution. So, naturally. But we must make a distinction. What is the religion? Religion is love. we need? Religious institution is more or less economy or power institution. Like that. So therefore, I think Indian understanding, secularism, respect all religion, and also respect non-believer. That is something very unique. Very unique. Some of my Indian friends, you see, when we discuss about secularism, they mentioned that over 2,000 years ago, or 3,000 years, you see, a lot of debate with different sort of Indian school of thought, religious sort of, the philosophy or religious sort of different school of thought. Then Charvaka school of thought, denying any value of spirituality. So the rest of Indian school of thought criticize Charvaka. At the same time, refer the people whose view, Charvaka view, refer sage. Rishi means sage. So their view criticize, but person respect. That's something good, isn't it? So my friends say, according to Indian understanding about secularism is also respect non-believer. That is, I think, now today's world very relevant. Now today's population, about 7 billion. Over 1 billion, actually, non-believer. We cannot exclude these people. Whether they accept religion or not, that's a personal business. But they should be compassionate person, compassionate people. So we need the systematic education sort of system, right? About warm-heartedness. Is based on secular concept. That's the only way. So I think India's constitution, based on secularism, so those like Dr. Ambedkar, Rajendra Prasad, all those great sort of lawyers, you see, who prepared India's constitution, they themselves very much religiously, very much because of religious-minded people. I never met Kasachuti, Dr. Ambedkar, but Dr. Rajendra Prasad I met several times. Very, very religious-minded. But such religious-minded people, you see, create a constitution based on secularism. Why? It's not at all disrespect religion, but respect all religion and also respect non-believer. India, multi-religious community. And at that time, I think, I don't know how many sort of non-believer. And anyway, they, according to the reality, you see, they drafted a constitution based on secularism. Now, in the terms of whole world, 7 billion human beings, the way to educate about moral ethics must be secular way, isn't it? So that's... It's my main commitment. Wherever I go, I always talk in this. So since you see, a number of Indians and foreigners is come here, so I'm trying to seek your help. So promotion of these values, not government level. Now India very much involved election. Everybody now waiting what the result. So these things, the politicians or government or even United Nations, they cannot do much. Each of us, we have the responsibility. We must build a compassionate family, compassionate society. That's the way to bring change in the whole world. And Indian should lead that. You have 1,000-year-old tradition, religious harmony, and secular ethics. Clear? So my Indian friends, should not involve about money and a lot of corruptions. Don't do that. Oh, one time in Jodhpur, again, I talk, you see, some students, and afterwards, I always take some questions. So I took some questions. Then one young student, actually, you see, asked me. At this moment, he still study. So once his real life start, unless some corruptions involved, I can't be a successful life. I shocked. Then next week, I was in Bombay at that time. I met some of my friend, some businessmen. They also mentioned, without corruption, the business will not be successful. This is really very sad. Really very sad. So therefore, you Indian should lead promotion of secular ethics. And that automatically brings religious harmony. And these days, whenever I talk with Indian students, some university, some colleges, I always mention, these things are your own treasure. Modernization of India, very important. About billion human population. Most populated democratic country. Very, very important. So material development, because of modernization, very important. At the same time, Indian should pay more attention about your thousand-year-old, your rich tradition. This tradition, not only ancient tradition, but also very much relevant to today's world. Clear? So that I want to sort of tell, particularly to those Indians. Clear? Then, India is now over 55 years. India is my home. And as a matter of fact, I'm the longest guest of Indian government. So, some way I exploiting government money. Like that. Now too many people, so I think no time. Questions, right? Question. Just I want to share some of my thought and some of my commitment to another human brother, sisters. So since a large number of tourists come from different parts of the world, so please think these things and think more yourself and also discuss with your friend. And if you feel something relevant, then think more and implement. If you think not much sort of relevant, then forget. No problem. Thank you. Bye-bye. Now I'm going to...